This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now, and I think it's official, we're going to be doing this every Tuesday with the one, the only, Drew Kreisman, our Rockies insider from DNVR Rockies. Drew, I'm guessing so, man. I just said it on the air. You can't make me look bad now. We're good, right?
No, I'm taking it all back.
Dang it.
You know what? Now that you've made it official, you've told everybody, all I can do is make a liar out of you for fun, right?
This is why I was told, never do programming meetings on the air, live. I keep doing it. It always gets me. Drew, my man, pretty big news, and now it's official. Colorado Rockies will host the 2021 All-Star Week.
Yeah. Awesome. This is great. Look, I know there are a lot of people who like want to feel bad about this, who are like trying really hard to have some negative things. And it's not that there's nothing to be said for, like, it feels a little bit weird that Dick Monfort is getting kind of rewarded at like the worst possible time. There's even a cynical response to that, though, which is to say, you know, there's going to be a highlight now on this whole mess here. Everyone, the entire baseball world is going to descend on Denver, Colorado. What, you don't think the national broadcasters on television and radio in 100 different languages aren't going to mention, you know, it's kind of interesting, we're here, and, you know, that guy who's playing in this game, he wears a Cardinals jersey now, and teams that, like, just shine a light on it. Isn't, they say sunshine is the best disinfectant, like, I think it's a win-win-win all around. Like, yes, Dick Monfort's going to make some money out of the deal. But guess what? Dick Monfort's not going to sell the Colorado Rockies. I'm sorry, everybody. He's not. I wish he would, but he's not. And so just making him more cash-strapped, it might make you feel a little bit better, but it's not actually better for anybody. And then there's just the bigger deal of it's just great for the community, for baseball fans to get to do this. There are bigger issues at stake than just, you know, how much money goes into Dick Monfort's pocket.
Yeah, you're right. It is going to be strange, though, when you see Nolan there at the All-Star. That's going to be tough for us to swallow, right? Drew, the other thing, too, is just we did a poll. Was it yesterday? I think we did a poll asking, all right, now that, you know, things are opening up and you can go to games, current pro teams in Colorado, Avs, Nuggets, Rockies that are rolling right now, we asked the question, which one would you go to first? Which one are you choosing? And it was hands down Coors Field. It was hands down Rockies. And a lot of our listeners hate the Rockies, but then when you ask them where they want to go, it's like, Coors Field. So, I mean, so at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, does it, Drew?
You know, Brady, I had somebody, I'm going to have to clean up the language in the story, this listener reader who also sells jerseys down at the team store, you know, works in the team store, sells all kinds of stuff, whatever they've got in there. And, you know, he says, and all I hear all day is people, you know, effing this and stinking that and coming through and then mom for this day. And then they get the thing and I go, all right, that'll be $400. You know? Like, thanks, here's your jersey. Like, you know, and so like, yeah, like, and what are you going to do? Yeah. So at the end of the day, I'm not going to fault anyone who's going to have a good time going to baseball games. That doesn't mean that they have delusions of grandeur about the team or any of that stuff. I'm not putting Rockies fans down. I'm not in the business of putting Rockies fans down. And I think that's a bad business to be in, quite frankly. Mm. So let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy going out to the games, even if we don't expect them to win a lot. I think they'll be better than a lot of people do. But trying to spin this All-Star game thing as a bad thing, especially when we have no idea in the long term, you know, the Rockies will get another one. That could be the one thing where it's like, if they can't have a full year to prepare for this, and does Colorado get the full All-Star game experience? And if you're settling for kind of like 70% of it, then it feels like Dick Monfort got played again. But I'm not sure that's what happened here. That's all speculation. For now, it's just a great day to be a fan of baseball in the state of Colorado.
Yeah, and Drew, you mentioned it too. I mean, looking at the last series against the Dodgers, I mean, congratulations, Rockies. You get to start the start your season against the best team in baseball. That I think sometimes even in the offseason, Drew, I forget how good they are until you just watch them step up to the plate. You're like, oh, the worst is over. We got past this. Oh, no, there he is. And it just keeps going that way. But I got to tell you, Drew, I walked away from this series going, that could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was a really interesting series in a lot of ways. The Rockies' bats came to play, and it's tempting to just shrug your shoulders and say, hey, Coors Field. But look, man, those are some of the best pitchers in the world over there, and Kershaw and Bauer and Buehler and Urias running out there. The Rockies' offense more than held their own against them. You know, we knew the bullpen was going to be shaky, and they coughed up a couple of games. The one thing that I think was pretty disappointing was the starting pitching, particularly Marquez and Senzatella were just not sharp. John Gray looked great right until he had to come out of the game. Worst possible debut for Gomber, but it's also a wash it away, and it almost meant nothing because it has so much to do with his defense rather than anything else. But ultimately, yeah, the Dodgers did not totally destroy the Rockies. There was that second game where I think everyone thought, oh, okay, here's what we expected. 10-0, the Rockies are getting no hit. That's the best team in baseball. That's the worst team in baseball. And that's what it should look like. But then even in that game, the Rockies came out and hit 4 home runs in an inning, had Dave Roberts over there scrambling for relievers going, oh, whoa, it's a 4-run ball game all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, I think they're going to be better than people think. I think the offense is going to be better. I think the young players are going to contribute. They're going to surprise people. And when the pitching comes around, they're going to go on some runs.
And like you said, you brought up John Gray, right? John Gray looked ridiculous, didn't he, right? I mean, he was rolling, and then the cramps kind of settle in. Nothing serious, thank goodness. But that was just kind of how this series went. Weird stuff happening. John Gray, who, you know, he's had a pretty good career with the Rockies, but certainly could be better. And now you're seeing him, you know, you're really putting some pressure on him this year, because if you're going to make something of this season, you're going to need it out of your pitching. You just have to have it. And there's John Gray rocking, and then he gets cramps, and then the game kind of starts to fade away at that point. But my goodness, I mean, most of these games were so close. That first game, though, Drew, they get the win. They win 8-5. That was the most bizarre baseball game I've seen in quite some time. This is a weird series, man.
Yeah, the whole series was weird. I will say the home run that wasn't a home run that Toppy got, and Turner and Bellinger passed each other on the bases. I was going around talking to everybody I knew. It just gradually got more and more experience. I went to my guy Patrick Lyons, watched a ton of baseball in his life. You ever seen that before? No, I've never seen that before. Okay. Then I go to Patrick Saunders, never post. You ever seen that before? I've never seen that before. I go to Tracy Ringlesby. You know, this guy's seen a lot of baseball. You ever seen that before? He goes, I've never seen that before. Then after the game, somebody asked Bud Black. Bud Black has seen some baseball. You ever seen that before, buddy? I've never seen that before. I just went, that was incredible. I love baseball, man. That's where you go to the ballpark. You see wild stuff like that, you know, and it did, like you said, if this was a year where we were maybe hoping for the Rockies to be competitive, I might be sitting here splitting hairs with you saying, hey, they're 2 bad defensive plays away from winning 3 or 4 games in that set. Like you said, if John can just hold on for another inning, one pitch here or there, one defensive play. Now, we don't need to do that kind of bargaining this year because we're not going to have our eyes probably as close on the standings. But when you're looking at what guys like Garrett Hanson, Sam Hilliard hitting a ball that would not have landed yet if it hadn't smashed off of the facade in right field, Dom Nunez doing his thing, these are the guys that came out and just they took all those home runs off of a former Cy Young winner, 2 of them, actually back-to-back former Cy Young winners, and Trevor Bauer and David Price. Those guys gave up 4 homers to these young Rockies, and Charlie Blackman, Charlie and the Children, as we're calling them. And there they went. They did the thing. And so, yeah, I mean, if you're not going to get excited about that kind of stuff, it's probably going to be a very long season for you. I'll just say that right now. But if you can kind of take those as wins, I had somebody tweet at me. I keep pulling this tweet, but it was so great. He just said, look, I thought this was going to be a miserable season. While I want to win rather than lose, if they play like that all year, I think this is going to be pretty fun. And I've got to agree with that assessment.
You know, and I'm trying not to, you know, be too positive on this side because, you know, we were trained all offseason, Drew, to hate this Rockies team, and they might
right.
never win a game. And then when they win one game, I'm like, well, mission accomplished. They got one. But I did walk away from that. Everything that happened, the weird home run that wasn't a home run, the cat, Kershaw catching a bump fly when he shouldn't have, when he should just let it drop, and that would have been two outs.
Yep.
It was weird stuff happening. But I found myself going, you know what? This was supposed to be an absolute blowout. This series was supposed to be embarrassing, and look at the scores. It wasn't embarrassing. And if you expected the Rockies to beat the Dodgers, I mean, I don't even expect the Rockies to beat the Dodgers on a good year necessarily every series. So
right.
I certainly didn't expect them to do it this time. So I'm walking away from this one going, all right, well, I guess we'll see what the Diamondbacks bring.
Yeah, the other thing is, you know, putting Austin Gomber aside, and I hate to put so much on him, but other than that whole situation, the Rockies played the much cleaner series, made far fewer defensive mistakes. The Dodgers were bringing in guys on wild pitches early in the series and all this kind of stuff. So it's like, yeah, I agree with you. My immediate takeaway from just watching them play that series was this is not a 100-loss baseball team. Is that a win for you? I don't know. But at the very least, if losing 100 games makes you feel worse and you're worried about that, I really don't think it's going to happen unless there's just a rash of injuries. These guys are too scrappy. I know some people hate that word, but it's legit. They're never going to be the bigger guy in the fight. You know, I like pro wrestling. I like to use that analogy. You know, they're the high-flying luchador against the big, gigantic, you know, Andre the Giant. Like, they've got to figure out a way to get those wins, but there's a way to do it. And they came out showing exactly how and nearly surprised those Dodgers and split or even and won that series. So, yeah, you start playing some teams that aren't the Dodgers, build a little confidence in these young guys, get the pitching you're supposed to get. That's the thing. Marquez and Senzatella show up sharp. I'm sorry, they win that series.
Yeah.
They just do.
That may, yeah.
And that'd be an interesting talking point today.
Oh, no question. Wait, Drew, so let me get this straight. Are you saying the Rockies are the Rey Mysterio Jr. of baseball? Can we say that?
Brady, I said that exact thing on the podcast maybe three days ago.
Did we just become best friends? That's one of those moments. Remember
yep.
Rey Mysterio Jr. when he was knocking out all the Giants? He's taking down Kevin Nash. He's taking down the... I mean, it was the best time of my life, and I am married and have a child. Those were phenomenal
right?
memories.
I even, Brady, I made this part of the analogy. I was like, when the Rockies got to the World Series in 2007, that was like when Rey Mysterio finally won the World Championship and held it up, and we were all very excited. And then, like, later that day, John Cena just ripped up the Boston Red Sox. So John Cena just, give me that thing. You are champion of nothing.
Oh, man, Drew, I love it. Anytime you want to connect sports. Anytime you want to connect baseball to wrestling, I'm here for that show, my friend. I'm here for that. All right, Marquez had a rough go in that game. He just looked a little off, just a little off in that one. Do you see that being a big concern, or do we get the best of Marquez even tonight against Arizona?
You know, it really could go either way. It's a concern in that he didn't have his fastball command all spring training, and I noted it all spring training. I was going, well, I think he's going to have a little bit of a shaky start to the season. So listeners to the podcast might have been expecting it, and then he came out and it was the same problem. He didn't quite have command of the fastball. He's able to battle because his stuff is just so good. The velocity and the movement on his pitches is ridiculous, and so guys have a hard time lining it up, but he just couldn't hit his spots. And so if that continues to be an issue, it could take him a while to work out of this. I do think that he will, but it's also one of those things he's never struggled with in his life. And sometimes when guys just lose their command of their fastball for a minute, it just kind of goes and then it locks in. And earlier in the season, that's more likely too. So there's a chance he just comes out and he's dynamite because it's just a matter of command. Everything else about his game is fine. His mechanics are fine. Like I said, the velo, the movement, all that stuff is there. But he's got to be able to put the fastball on the edges of the strike zone. If he starts doing that, he'll be just fine. And I expect he will. You hope it's tonight, but it can be a tricky thing. It's a little bit, I compare it to like a basketball player losing their jump shot, like a really good jump shooter, and then you just lose the feel in your jump shot for a minute. And you're like, well, I just have to keep shooting, right? And he has to keep throwing his fastball until it comes back. And as soon as it does, it'll be there.
Yeah. No, I tend
to watch and find out.
I tend to agree. Drew, what are you working on, man, that we can check out in the meantime until we talk to you again?
The other thing I really noticed in this opening series, Brady, and some people are really going to roll their eyes at this, but whether it's from a baseball perspective or some of them more the off-field perspective, that this is an incredibly easy team to root for. I was kind of waiting. Again, you talked about we're kind of conditioned all offseason to hate this team in a way, to be like, these guys suck. There's nobody on them. What a bunch of scrubs. And I kept waiting for myself to feel that kind of letdown moment when you get like to the bottom of the lineup and you go, oh, so-and-so's coming up, or the next three guys probably aren't going to do anything. I'm going to go refill my coffee. I'm going to go grab a Breck brew if I'm not in the press box. You know, whatever you're doing out there. And so, you know, when Chris Owings actually coming out really hot was one of the things, he's maybe the guy I was least excited about to watch play at all, and the fact that he had such a great series. And other guys are, and everybody else up and down the lineup was contributing. In fact, the most boring players in the series are probably Story and Blackman. Other than Blackman's big two-run home run that got the thing started, he really didn't do a whole lot at the plate. And everybody else is out there doing their thing. And so I've got an article coming up about just literally listing a reason, multiple reasons why you can root for every single guy on this roster. And that's a pretty cool thing to be in a spot for your team where there's something to look forward to every time each one of these guys steps up to the plate or on the mound. There's a part of you that can go, okay, here's what I'm hoping this guy can do. Here's what I'm hoping he can contribute to the future, or even just be a fun thing to watch for today. And that's a pretty cool spot to be in for a team that you don't expect to win a lot of games. That's actually kind of rare.
Yeah, you got to find something to root for. And like you said, there's certainly a lot. There is, when you're looking at these individual players. Drew, always appreciate you, my friend. And we shall talk. Well, I think it's official. We should talk next week, at least at some point.
Let's do Tuesday. I'll allow it.
All right, my friend. Always appreciate it. We'll catch up with you next week.
Fantastic. Thanks, Brady.
Thanks, man. Drew Kreisman, DNVR Rockies. We have fun. You know, Drew's a nerd like me. And anytime you can squeeze in a Rey Mysterio Jr. comparison, dude, Kevin Nash had Rey Mysterio Jr., picked him up, ready to powerbomb him, ready to go, and then Rey starts punching him on his head, drops Nash, pins him, 1, 2, 3. It's over, man. It's over. Nash didn't know what hit him. 7-foot dude versus like a 4'8" guy. I don't know how tall he was. It was nuts. One of the greatest moments in sports history. 12:53 the time. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Donate to the Live United 13 Tenathon by texting KFKA, all caps, to 26989. Give up to $100 and you could win a signed pair of Terrell Davis cleats. Thursday, April 22nd.